How you doing, champion?
How you doing, Captain Champion?
Doing great, champion.
Champion.
Champion to you.
Conference championship for App State. Conference championship for Clemson. Conference championship for Alabama. It feels a little bit like that segment in Lethal Weapon when they take him off the street by promoting him to captain.
We shouldn't take all the credit on Straight Up with Sturge, but we're gonna.
It's Monday, of course. Why not? Because you know what? The end of the regular season and championship week is now official. All we have left when it comes to the regular season in college football is this weekend's Army-Navy game. So, you know what? As much fun as it's been, Diesel, there's a little bit of mourning going on as well because
it feels like the season just started.
I know. And the thing is now you're starting to figure out as you get a little bit older, the time starts flying. You remember as a kid when the beginning of December, it felt like Christmas was 2 years away and how every day was just so ridiculously slow. Now you wish you could have that moments. But Diesel, how was we're going to get into a lot of different things today. First of all, at 4:37, we're going to talk with our buddy Manny Robinson from the Greenville News about the Clemson Pitt game, as well as his book that he has out. Of course, Clemson with the 42-10 win over Pittsburgh Saturday night at the ACC championship game. They see their name come up number two in the college football playoff poll yesterday, and they will make the first trip to the Cotton Bowl since 1939. So, Diesel, in doing some homework, do you remember, I've caught grief, a lot of people caught grief about the Alabama-LSU game that ended tied at 6 and went to overtime. LSU went 9-6. Well, in the 1939 Cotton Bowl, Clemson beat Boston College 6-3. So it just goes to show it happens over and over and over again. But the Tigers and Notre Dame will be matched up at 4 p.m. on December 29th in the Cotton Bowl. Let's see. We're going to talk to Furman basketball coach Bob Ritchie at the top of the 5 p.m. hour as they are making their way to Elon for a contest tomorrow night as Furman 8-0 on the season after a double overtime win at home over Western Carolina on Saturday at Timmons Arena. And see their name come up in the AP Top 25 for the first time ever. The Furman Paladins ranked in college basketball. We'll go over that with Bob Ritchie at the top of the 5 p.m. hour.
It's probably why Mark Childress isn't here today. He's out there still celebrating or he's running in the streets naked. I don't know what he's doing.
I think, number one, he will be hosting for GMAC on Wednesday and Thursday. Is GMAC, his string is coming to an end here at ESPN Upstate as he will be retiring. And then, of course, I'll be in Atlanta on Wednesday and Thursday for the Home Depot College Football Awards show. So he's got a lot to get done because he's hosting me for me on Friday. I've got several vacation days that are going to get burned here at the end of the year. So I'm going to be taking some Fridays off here in December and getting a long weekend out of it because we have a family wedding coming up here in a couple of weeks in Charleston. But, Diesel, how much fun was it for you to witness your team's, first outright Sun Belt Conference championship, and the fact that you guys beat Louisiana, 30-19 on Saturday, and now you get to play December 15th, the final game on that Saturday in the New Orleans Bowl against, Middle Tennessee?
Middle Tennessee, yep. Well, I had so much fun. I'm almost producing the show from the Watauga County Detention Center today.
Well, first of all, we know the story of you waking up around halftime at Michigan
this time
12, 13 years ago. Would you care to expand on this?
This time I was actually sober. Sturge, and some of the listeners who maybe follow me on social media know that I'm a huge Jeep nerd. Mm-hmm. I go nuts for them. So there, as I was driving through Boone, there was this four-wheel drive shop that specializes in converting Jeeps to pickup trucks. Now that they're coming out with a Jeep pickup truck, maybe they won't really have a business, but that's not the point. So I pulled in to take a bunch of photos, and apparently this place has been having a string of vandalism with their vehicles on the lot lately. And so the cops saw me poking around, and they pulled in to find out what I was doing. And so they had me there for a couple minutes. They ran my license. They ran my ID.
Did they have your hands behind your back
no,
at any point?
No, we never got that far. But yeah, that stinks that they're having that issue up there. But the game was fun. I mean, it was a cold, rainy, nasty, sloppy affair. I mean, there was it's, you know, it's artificial turf, so there was no actually slop on the field, but guys couldn't catch the ball because it was just slick and wet. I even heard them say on the national broadcast when I rewatched it that normally teams are allowed to submit 9 footballs to the referees. For that game, they were allowed to submit 16, so that they could have an extra set that would stay dry in the locker room until halftime. And they could come back out with dry footballs because, you know, you can try to keep them dry all you want, but eventually it's going to soak in just a little bit. That ball's going to get just a little bit heavier. It's going to get slick. And I know they all wear these special gloves that, I mean,
it's like throwing a shot put.
You can catch a toot in the wind with those gloves, but, you know, it just gets slick. And, you know, they're trying to keep the game as good as possible so they don't allow the rain in.
What type of atmosphere? What type of crowd?
It wasn't fantastic. Okay. I think I heard somewhere around 18,000 was the attendance. The student body, God, give them a lot of credit because they were there. They went nuts the entire stadium. You couldn't squeeze another one into the student section. And what was fun is there was one guy or two guys on the front row who were shirtless before the game, and I've been that guy before. But by the end of the game, they figured out, oh, this gets us on television. This gets us on the Jumbotron. So there was like 50 guys who were shirtless by the end of the game. It was great.
Well, you know, pretty good crowd up there in Bank of America Stadium for the Clemson-Pitt game on Saturday night, considering when you got up here, it was chilly and cold. And if I was just sitting outside, I could have very easily talked myself into staying at home. But South Carolina, do you remember the guy from the Clemson-Florida State game that became a Twitter legend for taking his shirt off and reading his book in the stands, and he was by himself and ends up? South Carolina got one of those guys on Saturday during Sandstorm. There's this dude up in the end zone at the top of the student section for South Carolina. And there's, I don't know what he's doing, but the guy made himself a little bit of a legend this past weekend, no doubt about it. So anyway, Mark Childress just texted me, you're super excited about shirtless guys. Ooh, I can see the fight starting
now.
Not
everybody's as good looking as I am.
That is true. That is true. I can see the fight starting now here in studio when you guys are going to be doing the show on Friday. Listen, can I ask you what in the world Pitt was thinking on Saturday night in Charlotte before the ACC championship game? You've already got a number two ranked Clemson team as an opponent. You're 7-5. And not once but twice, Pitt tried to mouth off to the entire Clemson football team, going back off the field prior to warmups and everything. Followed them down there to where they were walking off the field, mouthing off to them. When Clemson comes out on the field, you know, before the game, as the teams entered the field, Pitt was already down there where Clemson was coming off, mouthing off to them. Why do you do that? Why do you poke the bear in that situation? Because it was 14-0 and should have been 21-0 Clemson about 7 minutes into the game, and they miss on that fourth down conversion. Pitt does fight back to a 14-10 disadvantage before Clemson shut the door before halftime. But, you know, you were wondering after the Clemson-South Carolina game, Diesel, where Clemson's head may be. You know what I mean? Dabo Swinney lecturing the fan base about, you know, enjoy this, whatnot. If Clemson wasn't totally dialed in for that game Saturday night, they were before they came after the incident with Pitt. So I don't understand why you did that, because all that did, Clemson came out dialed in and focused. 75-yard run by Travis Etienne on the first play from scrimmage, 7-0. It was 14. Like I said, it should have been 21-0 about 7 minutes into the game, but just didn't understand that, Diesel, because the opposite of that reaction to me was what a moment you saw in Atlanta in the fourth quarter in the SEC championship game. Take Alabama out of the mix, all right? I know I'm a Bama guy, and let me tell you, I was as nervous as a cat in a room full of what's the old saying? I was nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Because Bama was getting beat. They were down 28-14. Georgia's about to kick a field goal to go up 31-14. That might have been the biggest play in the game. But, of course, Tua gets hurt. And Jalen Hurts comes in and leads Bama on back-to-back scoring drives. And
what a story.
Here's a guy. We are all thinking that he transfers out to go play his senior year somewhere else, and nobody is ever going to blame him for doing it. By having that drive, by having that fourth quarter on Saturday, he cemented his legend in Alabama football lore, regardless of what happens in the playoffs. And there is not a fan or a alumnus or a coach of Alabama out there that wouldn't just tip their hat at this point. But, man, you want to talk about being a starter for 2 years, being taken out in halftime of that same building last year, the national championship game against the very same opponent. And then you get to come back and finish it off and lead your team to a win. That's why you don't quit. And that's why being part of a team is one of the best things ever, Diesel.
You know, I saw a whole lot of, and I know we're going to get into this deeper in the show. I saw a whole lot of Georgia fans who were very upset that they didn't get into the playoff after that loss. Why would you deserve to get into the playoff? Two times in a row, you've played Alabama in first time in an actual national championship game, second time in essentially a playoff semifinal game, and you blew it twice.
Well, what's the benefit of Bama being at number one, having to play Georgia yet again? You know what I mean? Back-to-back games. Listen, I get it. Georgia, in my mind, probably one of the top four teams in the country. When you just look 1, 2, 3, 4, however, Diesel, you know what the college football playoff committee was going to do? What provided the littlest drama? I don't have a problem with Oklahoma being in that four slot. I can sit here with my eyes and say I think Georgia's one of the top four teams in the country. But guess what? You got two losses, and at some point that stuff has to kind of weigh in there. So that was a hell of an effort by Georgia on Saturday. But you know what? Nick Saban goes 16-0 against former assistants. So we'll come back. Did the playoff committee get it right? We'll take a look at that. We got some other news and notes. Like we said, Manny Robinson from the Greenville News at 4:37. Bob Ritchie, the Furman basketball coach, at the top of the 5 p.m. hour. After that, it is simply open phones here on Straight Up with Sturge. Don't forget, you can go to ESPNUpstate.com, get registered to go see the Rolling Stones in Boston, Massachusetts. Again, ESPNUpstate.com to go get registered. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at ESPNUpstate. Not to mention, get in on the Help There text line. That's 71307. Just begin your text with ESPN. And, of course, get in with us. It's open phones in the next segment. That's 844-477-3776. Robbie G gets in on Twitter, says, all of these stupid debates are solved with an actual playoff. Unfortunate that money is ultimately what will keep these kids from top-ranked teams playing for a championship. Hey, I'll go to six, but that's it. I will not look at any more. That's me personally, and here's the deal. You go to 8, 9 and 10 are going to complain like Georgia and Ohio State did. You go to 16, 17, 18, and 19 are going to complain. We've got 68 teams in the NCAA basketball tournament, and all we get on Selection Sunday are the ones that complain about being left out. So it's never going to change. I will open up for six teams down the line because I think we're on dangerous grounds right now with the some of the same teams being in, year out. 5 consecutive years for Alabama, 4 consecutive years for Clemson, and 3 out of the past 4 for Oklahoma. Let's get Delvin then. Tommy, Delvin, hope you're having a good afternoon.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Man, it is holiday season. I am working on it just to try to enjoy the month of December.
Yeah, because I agree with you about you. You keep spending that. Like, for example, Furman is upset they didn't get in, and they could be, like, number 25. You got 2014, and they upset that they're number 25, so to speak.
It doesn't matter if it's 4, 6, 8, 16, or 32. The ones that just miss are going to be the ones that complain. So opening up further is never going to solve the criticism of the college football playoff.
Yeah, and what do you think about Kirk Smart? Come on. Nick Saban don't want to play us. That's why he put us in the playoffs. We're the best team out there because Nick Saban don't want to play us. Yeah, Chandler do want to play out because you know he can beat y'all again.
I think what he is doing, Delvin, at that point, he is advocating for his football team to try to get them in. That's all he was doing, is trying to send a message to the committee that Georgia's one of the top four teams in the country. And, you know, I don't have an issue with that. I would have had an issue with Georgia getting in with two losses, but I don't have an issue with their head coach waving the banner for them.
Yeah. Well, and this Coach Carousel, like we said, I love Coach Carousel. What do you think about ECU hire? Mike Houston, I mean, he was going to go to Charlotte. Then he backed out of there. Well, ECU came on, now it's official. I think that's a good sneaky hire, given the success he had it on the LCS level. But like you said, that's different than the LCS. That's he can do it at the FBS level. But I think that's a sneaky good hire. And now, Matt Canada getting interviewed at Louisville. I know, Deals, you probably heard about that. You probably leading candidate at Louisville now.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call, Delvin, because you know what? Louisville fans, I'm not exactly sure what the hell you're thinking, because if you watch Twitter, Louisville football fancies themselves that it would be an insult to hire Scott Satterfield from App State.
You know what? So, they're right. It would be an insult to hire Scott Satterfield. Trying, you don't want him.
But my point is, they have an inflated opinion of themselves when it comes to college football. That's why nobody else wants Scott Satterfield. You aren't seeing his name come up. I'm sorry. Louisville fans need to back off. Take a look. You are a basketball power. You are just another guy when it comes to the college football world. Let's go back to the phones. Tommy Springer, Roll Tide, my friend.
Oh my God, Serge. I'm too old to watch too many more games like that. You know what I mean, cuz? But it's just incredible. I mean, Jalen Hurst, the story, it's crazy, man. And my question to you, Serge, is why in the world did Kirby go for 4th and 11?
All right, I think that, number one, he's going to sit there and tell the media, oh, it was there. No, it wasn't, because what they were trying to do is run an option and let Justin Fields actually option the ball off to the punter. You really going to put the ball in the punter's hand on 4th and 11? But, Tommy, let me ask you this. I don't think Kirby Smart wanted to give the ball back to Alabama, whether it's the 5-yard line or midfield. You know what I mean? I think he knew they were a little bit tired, and it showed.
And I'm sitting there watching the game, Sturge, and our defense stays on the field on that particular play.
You call it.
And I see, I see number one walking up, and before they even line up, Springer's in the living room. Fake punt. So I know if I could see it, it just blew my mind.
Yeah,
man.
Bama knew that was coming, and they never took the defense off the field. And you know what? This is the maturation process of being a head coach. You know, Kirby's done a good job, but when it came back,
great job.
Yeah.
I mean, they punched us in the face for 3 quarters, literally.
Congratulations, tip of the cat to Georgia from me. You know, we get told in the long run, Tommy, that may be the best thing that happens to Bama football, and the fact they finally got press this year.
Exactly. So, man, Sturge, it was just, you know, my wife, I had to take her to the hospital Saturday night. She done god dang lost her mind, cuz. So, but anyway, hey, man, you guys are doing a great job. And, you know, about the playoff selection, if you want to be as Ric Flair says, if you want to be there in the end, beat the man, okay? And that's the bottom line.
Yep, if you want to be the man, beat the man. So,
exactly.
Yep. All right.
So, well, God bless you guys. Have a Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you, Sturge. And here we go again, brother.
Yep, no doubt. And you can catch Tommy Springer and those guys on Classic Rock 101 or WRD with the outdoor show.
WORD.
Yeah, WORD. Which, by the way, unfortunately, carried the Panthers yesterday. 6-2 and looking like playoff bound just a couple of weeks, you know, 4 weeks ago, Diesel. Now 6-6. Cam Newton was still out there talking last week. He thought he was playing his best football of his career. How did that pan off?
Not too good.
4 interceptions yesterday in a loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, pretty interesting stuff. Now, stop and think about this for a moment. You know what? If sometimes appreciate what you see. I can understand if you're a South Carolina fan, you don't want to tip the cap to your rival, and I get it. But sometimes consistency is really a cool thing to watch. And think about the last 4 years for Clemson football since this senior class. They're now 53-4, most wins ever by a senior class in college football. All right. Two of those four losses, Diesel, came to Alabama. So, you know, no shame in that. The two other losses were to Pitt and Syracuse. Over the last 6 years, Clemson football is now 74-9. That includes wins over Ohio State and Oklahoma, not once but twice. A win over Alabama, a win over Notre Dame, who they'll face in the Cotton Bowl on the 29th, not to mention Auburn, A&M, Georgia. So not a bad little legacy there here over the last 6 years as Dabo Swinney has really got this program rolling. And here's the thing. I get South Carolina fans. You are going to always go look at our schedule versus look at theirs. There are so many inherent disadvantages when it comes to the Atlantic Coast Conference in college football. And they are 5 private schools in Georgia Tech. Yes, you can beat your chest as an SEC fan every single year that top to bottom, the SEC is going to be better. But Diesel, they should be. There are 13 state schools in the Southeastern Conference. Vanderbilt is the only private school. They do things different. And where does Vanderbilt come up nearly year in, year out? Somewhere around 12, 13, or 14. This year, they're bowl eligible at 6-6. So I get the fact that it is easier for Clemson to rack these wins up. But if it's this easy to win game after game after game, and going 13-0 last year, the last 4 years, it's because of the culture there. And, you know, I can understand why people want to throw dart. Oh, you know, they don't play anybody, blah, blah, blah. You know what? They're a charter member of the ACC. They can only deal with it. And when Florida State and Miami aren't having good seasons, the ACC is going to be down. All right? But Boston College, Syracuse, Wake Forest, Duke, and Miami are all private schools. Georgia Tech, you now have to take calculus your freshman year. You might as well throw that in the private school mix as well. So you can sit here and beat the drum all day long. Our conference is deeper than yours, and it should be. The SEC's got 13 of 14 state-run schools with bigger budgets than those private schools are going to ever have. But you know what? That doesn't win you championships. What wins you championships is putting yourself in position to go to the college football playoff and then have it from there. And you can only handle the business in front of you. I don't think Clemson fans are the least bit worried about what others think of how they got to 13-0. I think they realize that they're ranked number 2 in the country and they're going to the Cotton Bowl. And if other people want to take shots at it, make yourself feel better. It's not affecting Dabo Swinney in this program one bit. There's something special going on there. People are buying in, and they're sitting, and they're waiting their turn. And
it's called sour grapes, Sturge.
No.
I don't like to see my rival having that kind of success, I got to find a way to tear him down.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I went to Alabama. I don't care how the rest of the SEC does. I only care about Alabama. That can make me come off as some – you know, righteous, you know what. But I've never chanted SEC once in my life, and I never will. All right, we need to go out to break because when we come back, it is Manny Robinson. All right, let's get it real quick before we go out to break. All right, Tyler, welcome in. I hope you're having a good afternoon, bud. Hey, Tyler. Lost him there. We'll get him back after Manny Robinson from the Greenville News here in the next segment. Of course, the Clemson Pitt game and a very good book that he's written on Clemson Tiger football. All right, welcome back in on this Monday edition. And Diesel, we're getting ready to make the show sound a whole lot smarter. It is Professor Manny Robinson, the sports columnist for the Greenville News. And no offense, Manny, when we can throw the term professor around anywhere on Straight Up with Sturge, we're going to do it. So, for people who don't, you're an adjunct professor at Furman University. And real quickly, before we get started with Clemson, I know you had to wake up with a big smile on your face to see the Furman Paladin basketball program ranked number 25 in the country.
Yeah, and it hasn't gone away.
Yeah,
nothing could take it away. The mailman could, you know, give me wet mail today, and it wouldn't even matter. So,
well, check out 5 o'clock. We'll have Bob Ritchie on as they're on their way up to take on Elon tomorrow night. But Manny, of course, you're a sports columnist for the Greenville News. You've also written a book about Howard's Rock. But let's go back to Saturday night. I keep asking this: what was the motivating factor for Pitt to tick off Clemson outside the tunnel before kickoff ever took place?
Oh man, just to keep it close, that was their best chance. That was the only thing Pitt should have been focused on. I know Pat Narduzzi, Pitt's coach, said they came in to win. That's the same thing Will Muschamp said the previous week. They came to win, but I don't think anyone outside that locker room believed that it would be any closer than it was. But what Pitt did do is they kept scrapping, and that's impressive. You know, they're outmatched talent-wise, and, I mean, there's no shame in the way that they play. They had the best scheme that they could have, but and that effort, that's something that they can build upon, especially going into their bowl game.
As we continue with Manny Robinson from the Greenville News, you can follow him on Twitter at Manny Being Manny. That's M-A-N-I-E. And your recent book, Top of the Hill, you know, it kind of features the resurgence of Clemson football. And Manny, you know, you have to stop back and look at the last 4 years. His program's 53-4. Two of those losses are to Alabama. And you know what? There's no shame in that, but the consistency of this program has become top-notch. I get the fact. I just quantified to South Carolina fans in the previous segment. The ACC will never be as deep as the SEC in football due to the private school situation, but Clemson they're consistent right now.
Yeah, that's the main thing, and I think what Dabo Swinney recognized right away is the change of culture, and it sounds cliche over the time because Dabo doesn't change his tune. So it gets to be kind of hackneyed, but it works. And when you bring players, recruiting cycles after recruiting cycles, you have to instill that in those players again, those freshmen coming in. But what he's able to do is also have that senior leadership. And so by this point, it's player-led. And so when you got guys like Cleveland Farrell and Christian Wilkins leading the show, taking the baton from, you know, someone like Deshaun Watson, you know, that's going to just cycle success. And that's how they've been able to sustain this thing, because they have those kind of leaders who are also, they just happen to be great players.
And Manny, that's been the difference this year. You know, it seemed like for the better part of 15 years, Clemson football team was young. You know, every year, wow, they're kind of young. That's not the case this year. And I think the coaching staff has really enjoyed some of this upper-class leadership taking things under their own control.
Yeah, it makes things a lot easier. Like, you know, things have been a lot quieter, especially in the offseason around Clemson, if you noticed. We're not spending any part of the summer chasing police reports and those type of things. And that's just it's not to say that the program has, better kids by and large, because things happen in programs. But I think that points to the leadership within the team and these players. And you know, they have this driven focus. And now when you come have that sour taste after taking that L to Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, that's driven them to, you know, to put in the time, the effort, and that diligence has paid off. And it's a zero focus, and everyone from the administration down to the walk-ons is rowing in the same direction, and that's how they come to these results.
Manny Robinson, Greenville News. As somebody who's got a close relationship to the program and is privy to more than the average person, what was your take on Dabo's comments to the fans last week suggesting that he might even go elsewhere if their success wasn't good enough?
Dabo doesn't say anything by accident. I'm sure you guys recognize that. And I think that was a good way to reset the focus, you know, for going into the postseason, you know, starting with the ACC championship. Because, you know, if you get Pitt, especially Pitt is the kind of team that if you're not completely focused, and like I said, being diligent, that's a team that can upset you. Because of the way that they play, that's a slugfest, no matter what. So I think he recognized, and maybe he just was a little perturbed about mm-hmm. the whole thing, you know, hearing everything. When you win by 21, I mean, there two things can be true. You know, you can be satisfied with the win, but not satisfied with the defensive performance. And I think that's where he stood. But seeing some of the comments that you know said it felt like a loss. You know, a win never feels like a loss. It can feel like an ugly win, but never feel like a loss. I think he wasn't too keen on that take.
Yeah, I'm with you. And as we continue with Manny Robinson, of course, check out his website, mannyrobinson.com, tells all about the story. Not just a writer, a filmmaker now, and a reporter, and a speaker, and, you know, again, a professor right here on Straight Up with Sturge. You got to love it. So, Manny, have you even stopped for a moment? I saw your tweet yesterday about, you know, scratch one off the bucket list, getting to go to the Cotton Bowl in Dallas and go cover that. But have you even stopped and thought about it for a moment? Where all you been to go cover that program here in the last 5 years?
Yeah, that's something I had to remind myself to do because, you know, once you get, especially this time of year where you've been going for 14 weeks straight, you know, 16, almost 20 weeks if you're counting preseason stuff, it's a grind. It becomes a job. I mean, you talk to people and, you know, they think that they would trade places with you in a heartbeat, but you guys know that it becomes a job at this time of year, but sometimes you have to stop and think back, hey, I'm still getting paid to watch games. Mm-hmm. And you know, growing up in this area, not thinking that Clemson would be at a height like this, you know, a plateau going so long and you know, never venturing out to Arizona or this year going to Dallas or playing the Sugar Bowl. You know, those are things that as a college football fan, you think about now. That old school bowl alliance, there's only one more left on the bucket list, and that's the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, that could happen in a couple of years. Who knows?
So let me ask you, for people that don't know you, Manny, you went to Furman University right here in Greenville, and you're a proud alum and an adjunct professor there. And, you know, comment on the success of Furman right now. You 8-0, knocked off two Final Four teams from last year in Loyola and the defending national champions, Villanova. Never have been this far in the season undefeated, so every win from this point on is another win. But I guess what I'm asking is about the culture that Mike Buddy, the athletic director, has instilled at Furman, because it's not just basketball. Football got screwed out of a playoff bid, in my opinion, but cross country, soccer, everything else. And the beautiful part, if you and you weren't there on Saturday, they all show up to go support each other. Timmons Arena was rocking on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's especially with Buddy, Mike's a sharp guy, coming from Wake Forest, my other alma mater. You know, just being so sharp and knowing that it's a difficult job. But when you take that job as the athletic director, you know you don't have the resources that your neighbors in Columbia and Clemson have, but you still want to compete at a high level. And especially in the SoCon, which, you know, we had some losses with Georgia Southern and Appalachian State leaving and taking a little bit of the cachet with them. But it's still a tradition-rich league and a competitive league in football and basketball and all those other sports that you mentioned. But Furman is a place where you can do both. You can come in and get a first-class education, but also compete at the highest level. And that's kind of what the coaches have to pitch. But when you find guys that can cut it in the classroom at Furman, those are also usually your smarter players as well. So they play a fundamentally sound game, especially on the court. They're not going to beat themselves. And that's the kind of game you need to play to upset a team as talented as Villanova and some of the other teams that they've defeated this season. And they have that senior leadership. Same thing we talked about with Clemson football. They have those seasoned guys that can count on in a tough moment down the stretch with Rafferty and those guys. So I'm excited to see what they do. You know how it is in the SoCon, though. It's a 1B8 league, so all it comes down to the tournament, which I hate, but just got to take care of business one game at a time, and that's all the cliches say.
All right, Manny, before we let you go, your first book, Top of the Hill, which kind of recounts the resurgence of Clemson football. It came out this fall, and it is the giving season. December 3rd, believe it or not, 60-something degrees and the sunshine out, but that would be a great gift for the holidays for a Clemson football fan. How can our listeners go check it out? I know everything's probably at mannyrobinson.com, but again, Top of the Hill. It's an absolutely fantastic job.
Well, you can do what everyone's going to do this Christmas season and get everything on Amazon.
Okay. So
it's available on Amazon and in local bookstores throughout the Southeast. Yeah, a great gift, a good coffee table item. Mm-hmm. But I hope people will realize it's a great read, too. I had a lot of fun doing it, a lot of fun covering this team. And also, we have some various book signings and things coming up where we can come and chat about Clemson Athletics and the success that they're having and all the great stories that are in the book.
Well, listen, we'll get together after you go do your world tour for the semifinals and maybe the finals. I have missed being in the press box with you guys this year. Next year will hopefully be a little bit different. But, Manny, we'll get together. Thanks for all you do. And, again, the book, Top of the Hill, absolutely fantastic work.
Well, I appreciate the time, y'all. Always a pleasure to speak with you, my friend. You take care.
All right, there's Manny Robinson from the Greenville News. You can go follow him on Twitter at Manny Being Manny. That's M-A-N-I-E. Also, the website, mannyrobinson.com. And the one thing I haven't seen, and I want to get hold of, he's getting a master's from Wake Forest, and he did a short film piece called A Chip Off the Rock, which was about, a couple of years ago when the guy went and took a chip off the rock at the at Death Valley and how that tradition almost ended up coming apart. So we can have a quick phone call on the other side. Tyler, get in with us at 844-GSP-ESPN. Top of the 5 p.m. hour, Furman basketball coach Bob Ritchie, then open phones from that point on. So, a couple of news and notes apparently breaking. Diesel, I apologize, but according to the Louisville Courier-Journal, Scott Satterfield will be introduced as the new Louisville football coach tomorrow. Not seeing anything official from Appalachian State at this point, but seeing a lot out on my Twitter feed about that.
Well, best of luck to them. Louisville needs somebody to come in and clean up that program, and they got the right guy to do it.
They did, and I tell you what, how does App State, do you try to keep a coordinator and do you go outside the program? Do you? I guess it
all depends on who Scott tries to take with him.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Scott Satterfield looks like he will be announced tomorrow for the head coaching job at the University of Louisville. Also coming out, Diesel, I don't know how I feel about this, especially after Saturday. So I'm going to let you be the bastion of integrity, or at least because you don't have a dog in this fight.
Okay.
All right. But Deebo Samuel, the South Carolina wide receiver, just announced on Instagram a few minutes ago that he will not play his final game for the South Carolina Gamecocks in the bowl game versus Virginia. He's going to go ahead and try to get ready for the NFL draft and everything else. How do you feel? You have no stake in the game when it comes to South Carolina football.
I think he's absolutely quitting on his team. And I think that makes him a bad teammate. But at the same time, Sturge, he's playing the long game. Mm-hmm. He's looking out for himself. And that's where we are today. Everybody's looking out for themselves. Everybody's trying to get in the best shape they can possibly get into. Everybody's trying to avoid any potential injury that could hurt their chance to get into the NFL. So, look, when we talk about coaches leaving to go somewhere else to make money, that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to ensure that wherever he goes, he gets the best possible shake. And at the same time, I can't fault him for it. I don't like it.
Right.
And I didn't like it when Christian McCaffrey did it. I don't like it when all these other players do it. But I can't fault them for it.
Now, what Nick Bosa, Ohio State, that wasn't going to play the rest of the year due to that injury, that's one thing. I'm jaded, and that's why I don't really want to comment. I understand it, but I don't like it. Because 20 years from now, you're that reunion, oh, yeah, you know one or two of them going to poke you in the side about, oh, yeah, you didn't show up for that final game. Also, I'm completely and totally jaded after what I watched in the fourth quarter on Saturday with Jalen Hurts. You know what I mean? So I'm completely jaded when it comes to that scenario. But Deebo Samuel, it was a classy message that he put out there, and we wish him nothing but the best. Of course, you know, it's a business. There's no doubt about it. But you're part of a team as well. Also, one thing that I hated from Saturday, it was 28-3 at halftime for South Carolina. It ended up being 28-3 in that win over Akron. But it was when Zach Bailey went down with an injury in the fourth quarter. I mean, I don't want to knock on Muschamp. Why the hell's Zach Bailey out there, a senior offensive lineman that has started pretty much every game in his South Carolina career in the fourth quarter on a wet field like that? He got leg whipped, and I don't think it was intentional by the Akron player, but it was enough to break his fibula, and his South Carolina career is over. So I hated to see that happen to Zach Bailey. There's a kid from Somerville, South Carolina, that has literally given his all for that South Carolina football program for four consecutive years. There's the guy that you wish could play in the bowl game, because, quite frankly, he'd probably give that left foot to be able to do so. So, interesting news when it comes to that. All right, so let's reset real quick. When we come back, it's going to be the head coach of the 25th ranked Furman Paladins. The first time ever Furman basketball has been ranked in the AP poll. They are now 8-0 after their double overtime win on Saturday against Western Carolina. Also, Wofford got a nice win at home Saturday night against ETSU, East Tennessee State, to open their SoCon season. So good basketball openers in the conference by both Furman and Wofford. Unfortunately, we can't give you the same report when it comes to the outcome of the Kennesaw State-Wofford matchup, as Kennesaw State gets a three-point win, 13-10, on a four-quarter field goal. And I'm not exactly sure how it played out, but Wofford got the ball with a chance to break that 10-10 tie, could not get it done. And, of course, Kennesaw State gets the win 13-10 to advance. Coach Josh Conklin did a great job in his first season at Wofford, from taking over for Mike Ayers after a 31-year career. So congratulations to the Wofford Terriers on a 9-4 year in football. All right, don't forget real quickly before we go out to break, we've got Monday Night Football coming up tonight here on ESPN Upstate. The Washington Redskins at the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sure Daniel Snyder and the Redskins may be having to answer why they signed Reuben Foster after the domestic violence complaint on him. So there's your Monday Night Football. Tomorrow, Straight Up with Sturge, we'll give way at 6:30 to Don Munson and Tim Beret as Clemson hosts the St. Peter's Peacocks, I believe, in college basketball. That's a 7 p.m. tip-off right here. Of course, you can hear all the Clemson basketball games on ESPN Upstate. But speaking of basketball, Bob Ritchie, our Furman head coach, they're undefeated. They're ranked number 25. We'll talk to him when we come back.